Good morning, everybody. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. And every time when we study your word, I pray that you give us the spirit of revelation and spirit of wisdom. And so that we see the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so that we walk in the light, so that we be truly blessed by you, and help us not to deceive ourselves, and help us to walk in the truth, and so that when we see you face to face, and we're going to receive glory, honor, and peace, and immortality from you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you study any other books, you may not have to use your mental ability. But study the book of Romans, you really need a lot of mental thinking, you know. Because by studying the book of Romans, Martin Luther, he's a Catholic priest, and he has a PhD, but he never studied the book of Romans until he was told to teach in the divinity school to teach the book of Romans, and then he studied, and his life was changed. So he's no longer become a Catholic priest. He become the leader of the Protestant. So in the 16th century. And I encourage brothers and sisters who had come to know Christ for a long time, spend some time to read that, and so that when you hear what I say, and you test it, to see what he say is true or not. So I'm going to spend a few weeks to study the second chapter of the book of Romans, and so that we have a deeper understanding of what Paul is trying to say. Do you remember that the chart that I wrote in chapter 1? I divided it into two parts. The first part is the righteousness of God. And then the left-hand side is the wrath of God. That's in chapter 1. But whereas in chapter 2, 1 and 2, you see that I divided into three parts. We, that is talk about like Paul and Peter and John and all these apostles, or including Old Testament Daniel, David, and Abraham. And then in the middle is you on the far left. This day. So chapter 2 mainly talk about you. You are either under the wrath of God or you are under the righteousness of God. So let's take a look at it. Chapter 2 verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and because of your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. In other words, if we stand on the left-hand side, under the wrath of God, the wrath of God will not come upon you now. It will come upon you on the judgment day. That's exactly what the Bible says. For the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Will be revealed, that means it's not now. It's in the great white throne. So, you, who are you? So, take a look at that. Let's go back right beside you. You write down 1:5, 1:6, and 1:7. You are called to the obedience that comes by faith. We are not called to disobey God's word. We are called to the obedient that come by faith. And secondly, you are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are not called to belong to yourself. Thirdly, you are called to be a saint, to be a holy people. You are not called to remain to be wicked. So in other words, that you is not the non-Christian. You, you talk about Christian, right? Because this letter in 1:5 is written to all the Gentiles who are called to the obedience that come by faith, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, who are called to be saint, to live a holy life. And so, but even though we are called to be like that, but not very many people remember that, you know, that this just in 1:5, 1:6, 1:7, unless we study numerous times, say, oh, now I know, you know, the Lord called me to be like that. And by the time when we read chapter 2, Paul using a lot of different arguments, that's the trap that the Jewish people and Christians fall into, that trap. They cannot get out of it. That's why they don't understand the Bible. So I try to unfold the mystery so that we have a better understanding. I say that one more time. You are not a non-Christian. You are Christian. And but because we are Christian, doesn't mean that automatically we have an obedient heart. And some people choose to still do their own things. I give you some illustration. Will you turn to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23? Take a look at the our condition before we come to know Jesus Christ, who we are. So you have to know that, okay? And otherwise, you know, you when you read the scripture, you won't understand. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Ethiopian is the black people. It's the north of Egypt. Okay, the upper hill is Ethiopian. You remember the eunuch is Ethiopian. You remember that Acts chapter 8. You know that eunuch is, he's a treasurer working for the queen of the Ethiopian. He become a Christian. So can the Ethiopian change his skin? Of course not. I know Michael Jackson tried to do that. Can the leprous change its spot? No, cannot. So the Bible say, neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We have been doing evil ever since when we were born. I come to know Jesus Christ at the age of 28, so I've been wicked for 28 years. It's getting so used to it. And how can I be changed? Unless God doing some surgery. I cannot change myself. I have to know where I'm from, because I've come from my parents. My parents come from Adam and Eve, and they are all wicked, okay? They are all wicked. So I know the condition of it, and so that I have to face it. And I would like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful about all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Only the Lord can understand it. In verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deed deserve. First of all, I have to know that I cannot change myself from getting used to doing evil for the last 28 years. And how can I be able to change all of a sudden to do good? I cannot do that. You have to acknowledge that. I cannot do it. Just like the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, leopard cannot change his spot. That's the thing that you have to come to senses, right? And then when you realize it, then you're going to look up to Jesus and ask Jesus to help you. Secondly, if some people refuse to be changed, then his heart is deceitful. Deceitful about all things. About all things is worse than a snake. Snake is deceiving Adam and Eve. And our heart deceives ourselves. So when you read the scripture, make sure you ask the Lord to take away the stubbornness of heart and unrepentant heart. Because right beside the stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you write down 17, Jeremiah 9 and 10. Ask the Lord to search your heart, examine your mind. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Okay? You cannot change yourself and you cannot cure yourself. It's beyond cure. It's only Jesus can do something about that. Okay, with that in mind, then we go on to explain the rest of it. I will keep on doing it when I talk about second chapter, so that we have a better understanding from different angles to look at it. In verse 5, chapter 2, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, and you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Why Paul saying what he's saying in verse 5, chapter 2? Because a lot of people deceive themselves. They say, I am a Christian. I am a Jewish. I'm not stubborn. I don't have an unrepentant heart. Because you can say that to yourself. If you say that to yourself, that means there's no point to read that. And then the Christian also say to themselves, when I face the judgment seat of Christ, I think Jesus Christ will forgive all my sins. Okay? But he didn't even confess it. The only way Jesus Christ will forgive your sins, first of all, you have to acknowledge that you sins against God. You have to acknowledge that you are wicked. If you don't know your condition of your mind and of your heart, how can you confess it? Satan is very cunning. He's going to deceive you. Say, oh, wow, you're all right. You don't need to confess it. You are a Christian. You're a believer already. Brother and sister, chapter 2 is talk about you. And then all of a sudden, you become a stubborn, become unrepentant. That means they keep on doing what they want to do instead of allow their life to be changed by Jesus Christ. Now, I go into a deeper detail to explain what does it mean by 1:17. 1:17 is very, very important. 1:17 I divide into two parts. From first to last. The righteousness of God, or the righteousness from God, is by faith. From first to last. First, I write down 1, 3, and 4. In other words, the moment I acknowledge Jesus is Son of Man, that means Son of David, according to his human nature, and then I acknowledge that Jesus is Son of God because of his resurrection, then you are saved. And then, ever since that moment, you receive the righteousness from God. And what is the last? The last is 1:5-11. In other words, I'm sorry, not 1:9-11, chapter 2:5-11. That is last. The righteousness from God is by faith, By believing that Jesus is the Son of David, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after you did it, then God say, I call you to the obedient that come by faith. I call you to belong to Jesus Christ. I call you to live a holy life. Don't be wicked anymore. Follow me. Then, this is what Paul say. The righteous shall live by faith. So in other words, how do I do chapter 2, 5 to 11? I do it by faith and through grace. And these are the teaching, these are the instruction given to Paul, to all Christians. Okay, let me take a look at it in chapter 2, verse 6. The reason why Paul saying what he's saying, because a lot of people, they thinking that believing in God, and that's a done deal. I don't need to be changed. I just wait for his second coming. Okay? And that's not true. That's not true. Okay? I just get out of the book of Romans, and then I take a look at what Paul saying in Ephesians. Right beside Ephesians, you write that like that. You write down Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, that is first. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you say that's the last. From first to last, from faith to faith. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, you write down, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Salvation, this salvation, not from yourself. Salvation is a gift of God. God give it to you. Salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. Salvation is by grace, freely given it to you. But right after you have been saved, from deceitfulness, from stubbornness, from wickedness, from disobedience, then we got to turn to God and do something new. And that is what Paul saying, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship after we are saved, after we receive the free gifts from God. For we are God's workmanship. After you are saved, God gonna recreate you, changing your life. He gonna have an operation on you. So, I want to take a look at what the other prophet is saying. You write beside God, workmanship. What kind of God workmanship that he has done? He gonna take away your heart of stone. He take away your old heart and give you a new heart. And then put a Holy Spirit, a new spirit within your heart. Then your life will be changed. Where does it say? You write down Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 to 27. 36, 26 to 27. Let's see what God has done in our life after we are saved. Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. Before God give us a new heart, he has to remove your old heart, the heart of stone. Could you do me a favor, write that down? That is God's workmanship. Do me a favor, write that down. Because after a while, you're going to forget what it is. So in other words, what Paul trying to say, he's not saying something new to you that you never heard of. He tried to say something that you have ever heard of, but just that you don't realize it. That is God's workmanship. Okay, without doing that, we are in deep trouble. Okay, let's say if God did not remove from you your heart of stone, that's the old heart. What's the heart of stone? According to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, and that heart, can you change the old habit? Can you do that? You cannot do that. And what about 17, verse 9 and 10? And that heart, is it deceitful? There's no point to keep it, right? So you have to ask God, say, Lord, I know where I'm coming from. That's no good. Take it away. Take it away, please. And do me a favor. Give me new stuff. Okay? Now go back to Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel. 36, 26 to 27. Ezekiel 36, you're not rolling like this. Oh, come on. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to give you glory, right? Okay. The Bible says, I will give you a new heart. Thanks God. And I will put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then what happened? Verse 27. And I will put my spirit, that spirit is the Holy Spirit, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decree and be careful to keep my law. In other words, even though if you can do good, it is because God has done something. Taken away the old heart and give you a new heart. And then on top of that, give you what? A Holy Spirit. So could you do me a favor? Right beside verse 27? Now you understand why Paul writing what he's writing. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25. It is because of the Holy Spirit we come to know Jesus is the Son of David. We acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. It's because the Holy Spirit moved me to understand that so that I can proclaim to everyone. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of David, Jesus Christ the Son of God. It is because Holy Spirit has done something to me and helped me to understand it. And after I believe in Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit is going to move me to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and move me to obey God's word. Brother and sister, the one who claimed to be Christian and yet remained stubbornness, remained unrepentant heart, that means he hasn't had the Holy Spirit yet. Alright? When God make a new covenant with you, you have to have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. Because that is God's workmanship. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, and let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In other words, let us do good work with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he's trying to say. Hey, brother and sister, when you can do good work, don't brag about that. If anything you want to boast about that, boast about Jesus Christ. Because he has done something to you. Those people, he hasn't done anything new because he's still an old man. I mean, old man is not old in age. That means he still has the old heart, old mind, hasn't been changed. Without the Holy Spirit helping you, you cannot walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit, that means you rely upon the spiritual power to do good work. I never say, oh, you do good work, oh, you lean on yourself. Rely upon yourself to do it. No, you cannot do it. That's why you need to pray. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to pray to God. I am God, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, is to do good work. This good work is God prepared for me in advance for me to do it. Does it make sense? Okay, now keep going. Go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Right beside, God will give to each person according to what he has done. A lot of people, they don't believe in these Bible verses. Right beside Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Because God is going to reward you according to your deeds. I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, examine the mind. To reward a man according to his conduct, according to his deed deserved. When you have a new heart and new mind, you're going to do the new thing. That new thing is a good thing. Then God say, I'm going to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deed deserves. In other words, believing in Jesus involving reward. Now I want to take a look at the New Testament teaching to see whether the Old Testament teaching is still valid for us to believe in. Right beside 17 verse 10, Jeremiah, you write down Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Jesus, anyone who comes to God, must believe that God exists. On top of that, must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Brother and sister, seeking God means doing good things. I want to divide this right beside here, dotted line in here. This is seek God, and in here is self-seeking. You seek your own will, you do your own thing, you don't care what God say. You are in deep trouble. You seek God. Because when you seek God, God is going to reward you. I say that one more time, brother and sister. Believing in Jesus, you not only have eternal life, you have a lot of blessing. You got to find out what is recorded in both the Old Testament and the New Testament so that you know exactly why you're doing what you're doing. Because I'm doing it because I'm seeking reward from God. You know what? When you go to work, you say that, wow, the company say, I'm not going to give you a bonus. 做有36，唔做有36, you know, 9 to 5, that's all you get. Then you're going to become lazy and lazy. Eventually, you're going to get fired because you become so lazy. But when you realize there's a reward, you're going to do things other people won't do it. And people ask you, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I'm seeking God for reward. Does it make sense? I say that one more time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in what? Believe that He exists, number one. Secondly, believe that He's going to reward me when I seek Him. If you don't believe in that, you won't please God. You're pleasing yourself. Okay, with this in mind, go back to Rome, Romans chapter 2, verse 6. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Do you remember? I have changed the Bible. I say, one things God has spoken. What did God spoken? Surely I will reward each person according to what he has done, according to his deed deserved. Two things have I heard. First thing, you, O God, are strong. Because he's going to do what he's going to tell you. If you say, oh, I promised to give you this, but I have no money, you're weak. You promised to give me this, you better be strong to deliver your promise. Second thing I have heard, you, O Lord, are loving. You're going to give what you promised me. As Psalm 62, 11 and 12. So I want you to circle that next time you say it the way that I say, so that you have a better understanding. One thing God has spoken, Psalm 62, 11, two things have I heard. 62, 11 and verse 12. One thing God has spoken, and then that spoken that word, you link it to here. Link it to here. Surely, God will reward each person according to what he has done. That is what God has spoken. You know what, brother and sister? In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, that's what Paul said. He's quoted from what David said. He's not doing it by his own imagination. He said according to what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10 is saying. You understand? All these are holy prophets. You believe in them, you don't believe in their. The Sunday school teacher, if he say anything other than what the Bible say. Two things have I heard. You say, number one, what have you heard? Oh God, you are strong. You're going to deliver what you promised. Second thing I have heard, you, O Lord, are loving. You will do it. And that's why Paul saying that. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, God will give to each person according to what he has done. Okay, let's see what he has done. Because I say that under the word you, some still remain to be under the wrath of God on the left side. Some will change, ask God to change their heart, change their mind, change their life, and they want to do good. Okay? That is on the right side. Chapter 2, verse 7. To those who by persistent, the right beside by persistent, you write that, by persevering too. Some people, they do good work. They do it once, they do it twice, and then they look around, oh, the other people don't do it. I say, I give up, I don't do it also. You don't look around what the other people are doing. It's none of your business. By persistent doing good, that means you focus your mind, your thought, your heart on the word of God. You know that you're going to get reward. All other people who are not doing it, they are not pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith number one, believe that God exists. Faith number one, believe that God, Jesus, is the Son of David. God, Jesus, is the Son of God. You believe in it. And when you, right after you believe in it, you say, that's not good enough because I want reward. I want reward because that's what God give me reward. And then Paul saying that by persisting in doing good, and then you seek three things. Number one, seek glory. Number two, you seek honor. Number three, you seek immortality.
You see that three things? That means you see God. Because all these three things is from God. Glory, honor, and immortality. You look for things that last. Don't look for things that perish. Don't just look for the earthly stuff, man. Spend some time to look for things that can last to eternity. I want you to go back to Gospel of John chapter 6. Let's hear what Jesus is saying to those people who follow him. Gospel of John chapter 6, after Jesus feed the 5,000. And then Jesus say, verse 26, 6:26, Jesus answer, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw a miraculous sign, but because you ate the loaf and have your fill. They're only looking for their earthly blessing. They're not looking for the eternal blessing. They're not looking for immortality. They're not looking for glory and honor. They're just looking for something to fill their stomach. Okay? That become their God. Verse 27. Do not work for food that spoil, but for food that endure to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Right beside his seal of approval, you write down 3:34. Because God filled him with the Holy Spirit. He's a new person. Verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the word of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. Will you please do me a favor? Right beside, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 29, to believe in the one he has sent. 6:29, Gospel of John, you write down two things. In Paul wording, is Romans 1, 3, and 4. Believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, and Son of David. And secondly, believe that Romans chapter 2, 5 and 11. After I'm saved, I have to do good work. Persistent in doing good work. Perseverance in doing good work. Don't just do good work once, do good work twice, and then I give up. Keep on doing it until you see Jesus Christ. That's what Paul say, fight a good fight. You know what? Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 29. What does the Lord require of us? The Lord require of us is to believe in the one God has sent. Now, this is Paul teaching. And now take a look at what John teaching. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. What's God command to each and every one of us? To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. First part. I call it A. What's the second part? 3:23b is to love one another as the Lord has commanded you. To love one another. Is it do good work? Hello? To love one another is do bad work or do good work? Do good work. Okay, now. So, all this preacher, all this good preacher that has already passed away now, some sit by the right-hand side of Jesus Christ, they all receive blessing. Okay? They're telling us the truth. Okay? These are the things that we believe. Brother and sister, the work of God is this, Jesus said, to believe in the one
he has sent. Now go back to Paul's teaching. To believe in the one he has sent. He sent Jesus Christ as a son of man, as a son of David. And he sent Jesus Christ as a son of God by his resurrection. So we did the first part. What about Romans chapter 2 verse 5 to 11? I want you to write that down. Romans chapter 2, 5, 11. That is also the Lord's command according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 37. Because Paul said that everything that I write is the Lord's command. If the Lord's command, they mean I believe in what Paul teaching, they mean I believe in God sent Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus Christ to tell me 6:29 in Gospel of John, and later on, Jesus Christ revealed the truth to Paul, and Paul write that down. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that. Paul say, what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. Who sent the Lord? The Father sent the Lord. The Lord sent the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ sent servant Paul. So you believe in Paul, that means you believe in who? Believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus, that means you believe in who? Believe in God. Isn't it Matthew chapter 10 verse 40? Jesus said, he who received you, you mean apostle and prophet, he who received you, received me, received Jesus. He who received Jesus, received the one who sent me. Does it make sense? It makes a lot of sense to me. So believing in Jesus Christ, not only have eternal life, believing in Jesus Christ, you will have reward. So that's why Paul saying, by persistent in doing good, that means you are seeking glory, seeking honor, and seeking immortality. What's the end result? If I seek glory, seek honor, seek immortality, what's the end result? God will give you what? Eternal life. You know what? A lot of people don't know that. They thought, oh, I see this. Isn't it? I believe in Jesus Christ. I have eternal life already. You understand what I'm trying to say? You see this? You are a genuine Christian. You're a genuine Christian. Then he's going to reward you with eternal life. I want to say one more time so that I can explain clearly. What does it mean by seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality? Seek all these three things. That means you, by persistent in doing good. If you keep on doing good, you are seeking this kind of stuff. When you're seeking this kind of stuff, what happened in verse 10? God going to give you glory, honor, and peace. First of all, what did he give it to you in verse 7? He gave you eternal life. And then you will receive glory, honor, and peace. Write that down. I just want to explain in detail what does it mean by seeking glory. What does it mean by seeking honor? What does it mean by seeking immortality? You know, when you preach the gospel to those people who don't believe in God, what's the first thing they say? I don't believe in immortality. I don't believe in eternal life. You don't seek that, you don't get it. Right? You believe in it. You're seeking for it. Then you got it. Take a look at the glory first. Glory? What kind of glory that I receive?
according to Psalm 149, verse 6 to 9. If you're persisting in doing good, do the thing that pleases God, because you believe that He's going to reward those according to His deed, He give you the glory to be a judge, to be a ruler, to be king. When you receive the kingship, you are so happy. Then the Bible says, may the praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hand, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, and to bind their kings with fetters and their noble with shackles of iron, is to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all His saints. Are we called to be saints? Yes, we are called to be saints. Right beside saints, Romans 1:7. If you want to live a holy life, knowing that God can reward you, whoever give you a hard time, they're going to bow down before you, just like Joseph, 10 brothers give Joseph hard time. And Joseph had two dreams. He know that all his brother and all, and including his parents, will bow down before him. And Joseph believed in it. He believed in it. He suffered the pain for the last 13 years, ever since he has the dream at the age of 17. By the time he's 30 years old, all his brothers come before him and bow down to him. You say, Pastor John, they bow down to him because they don't know he is Joseph. No. In Genesis chapter 50, they know he's Joseph. They still bow down to him. Because if you seek glory, you suffer pain, and to be sold to the Egypt, and work in the Potiphar's family, and then you refuse to live an ungodly life, you live a holy life, you refuse to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife, and then you send to the prison. You suffer more pain, but he didn't give up. He persisted in doing good. What happened? Did he seek glory? He get the glory. You're going to carry out the sentence. You're going to get the honor to be king, to be judge, to be ruler. Brother and sister, if you keep on doing good, God going to crown you with glory and honor. He's going to crown you with that. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. You make him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crown him with glory and honor. You make him ruler over the work of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. All flock and herds and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all that swim the path of the sea. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You're seeking with this kind of glory, God going to give it to you. And what kind of honor that God talk about? Psalm 149, 4 and 5. He's going to crown the humble with salvation. That's the honor you receive. You have eternal life. He give you eternal life. He crown you with salvation. Psalm 149 verse 4, for the Lord takes delight in his people. For it is impossible to please God. Why the Lord take delight in you? Because you have faith in him. You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. On top of that, You seek reward, you seek honor, you seek glory, you seek immortality. He's going to give you honor. The Lord is going to crown the humble with salvation. Let the saint, right beside the saint, you write down Romans 1:7. We are called to be saints. But we acknowledge that we are not saints before. We acknowledge that we cannot cure ourselves. We cannot do good by our own strength. We can do good by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the saint rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their bed, knowing that what you're going to receive. Wow, man, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Everybody say? Only Linda say that. Everybody say? Amen. That's good stuff. I like that. What is immortality? Right beside immortality, you write down Psalm 16. Jesus Christ, obey God, filled with the Holy Spirit, to execute the task that God wants him to do, and to do it and do it well. Psalm 16, 1-6. And then the Bible say, okay, keep going at the end. What did the Bible say? Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. He know that his body will not see decay. Although he died for our sins, 3 days later, he is resurrected because God the Father will not abandon Jesus Christ to the grave, nor will he let Jesus Christ, the Holy One, see decay. He has immortality, write that down. He believes in it. Do you believe in that? I believe in the same thing, write that down. Right beside that, you write down Romans 6:9. Jesus Christ died once, and after that, death no longer has mastery over him. He's resurrected. Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. That is the immortality that we are seeking. Thanks God. I want to talk about honor. Anyone who do good, anyone who serve Jesus Christ will get honor. Jesus said, Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 26. Whoever serves Jesus must follow Jesus. Right beside follow Jesus. Follow me. You write down Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. You carry your own cross. You don't carry the cross, that means you still have the old heart. Anyone willing to carry the cross is the one the Lord has already taken the heart of stone and give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. And on top of that, he's going to empower you with the Holy Spirit, and then you can do it. When you are so painful, you are about to give up, the Holy Spirit encourages you, oh, don't give up. Come on. Remember what Paul saying in 2 Timothy? To Timothy, when I lay hand on you, the spirit I give it to you is not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of what? Self-control. You can do it. With my help, you can do it. I'm not saying that you rely upon yourself. Don't rely upon yourself. When you rely upon yourself, you look at this guy, look at that guy, they don't do it, I don't do it, then I don't do it. I don't care what they do. I keep on doing what the Lord called me to do. Just like what Paul saying. Because Jesus Christ wants to make sure to get hold of you. Get hold of you of what? To receive the reward that he has in store for you. Will you please do me a favor? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. To win the prize is to get reward from God. For what God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God called you to be rewarded by Him. So you keep doing what the Lord called you to do. Just like Joseph. You know, even if you go to the dungeon of a prison, you still believe in Him. 13 years later. Of course, now we know it's 13 years later. At that time, he didn't know how long. Okay? Does it make sense? That's why by persisting in doing good, you are seeking glory, you're seeking honor, you're seeking immortality. By persisting in doing good, don't give up, keep on doing it. You know what? At the end, what did he give it to you? Chapter, not only eternal life. Verse 7 is eternal life. And then verse 10, he will give you glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard what you have said through various prophets and apostles. Both recorded in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Help us to remember what we have heard and study it again, and so that it impress upon our heart. And I pray, O Lord, that take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a new heart. On top of that, give us a new spirit so that we can obey your word. By obeying your word to do good, we for sure will receive glory, honor, immortality, and peace. Thank you, Jesus, for giving all this good stuff to us. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.